You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey everybody, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we're going to dig into something that every student pilot practices, every checkride tests, and yet so many pilots struggle with when it actually happens in the real world. The go-around, more specifically. Go-around decision-making, when do you commit to it? What makes pilots hesitate, and how do you build the kind of mindset where executing a go-around feels like a win, not a failure? Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The go-around is not the backup plan, it is the plan. The landing is what happens when everything lines up. The go-around is what happens when it doesn't, and the sooner you internalize that, the safer you're going to be. Before we get rolling, shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. If you love aviation, they've got the gear to prove it. Great stuff for pilots and aviation lovers. Check them out. All right, let's talk about why this matters so much, especially when you start flying cross-country. When you're in the traffic pattern at your home airport, you know that runway like the back of your hand. You know the winds, you know the sight picture. You know where the trees are off the approach end. You've landed there 100 times. But on a cross-country, everything changes. You're landing at an unfamiliar field. Maybe the runway is narrower than what you're used to. Maybe it's shorter. Maybe there's a displaced threshold that throws off your visual picture. Maybe the winds are doing something funny because of terrain you've never dealt with before. And that is exactly where go-around decision-making becomes critical. Let's walk through this together. There are really three phases where a go-around decision lives before the flight, on the approach and in the flare. And most pilots only think about the last one, phase one, before you even leave the ground. When you're planning a cross-country, you should be looking at your destination airport with fresh eyes. Pull up the airport facility directory, which the Federal Aviation Administration now calls the chart supplement. Look at the runway length, look at the width. A pilot who trains on a runway that's 150 feet wide and 6,000 feet long is going to have a very different visual experience landing on a runway that's 60 feet wide and 3,200 feet long. Write down the traffic pattern altitude. Is it standard at 1,000 feet above ground level, or is there a non-standard pattern? Check for any notes about noise abatement procedures or right traffic. Look at the notices to air missions or NOTAMs. Is the precision approach path indicator working? Is part of the runway closed? And here's the big one. Look at the weather at your destination and think about what the winds are going to do to your approach. If the forecast is calling for gusty crosswinds at your destination and you're a low-time pilot, that's not the time to white-knuckle it. That's the time to pick an alternate airport with a runway more aligned with the wind or to adjust your timing. This is go-around decision-making before you even start the engine. You're setting yourself up so that if you do need to go around, you've already thought about what that looks like. Phase 2. On the approach. This is where the airman certification standards really come into play. The ACS for private pilots says you need to maintain a stabilized approach, and that word stabilized is doing a lot of heavy lifting. What does a stabilized approach actually mean? It means you're on airspeed. It means you're on glide path. It means your configuration is set, meaning flaps, landing gear if applicable, and trim. It means you're not chasing the needles or making huge corrections, and it means all of this is true by about 500 feet above the ground. Some flight schools use 1,000 feet as their gate. Either way, the concept is the same. If you're not stabilized by that altitude, you go around, period. That's not a suggestion. That is the standard. Now here's where it gets real on a cross-country. You're flying into an unfamiliar airport. Maybe you're a little high because you weren't sure exactly where to start your descent. Maybe you're fast because you were nervous about being slow in the pattern with other traffic. Maybe the wind shifted and now you're dealing with a quartering tailwind on final that's pushing you through the center line. Any one of those things can make your approach unstabilized. And the temptation. And I mean this, the almost overwhelming temptation is to try to fix it, to push the nose down to lose altitude, to pull power to idle early, to slip aggressively while also trying to track the centerline, to basically wrestle the airplane onto the runway. Don't do it. The go-around exists precisely for this moment. Full power, carb heat off if you've got a carbureted engine. Pitch for the appropriate climb attitude, flaps up incrementally, not all at once. Fly the airplane, then set up and try again. You know what the examiner is looking for on a checkride? They're looking for judgment. They want to see that you recognize when an approach isn't working and that you have the discipline to go around without being told to. A clean go-around followed by a solid second approach will impress a designated pilot examiner far more than a sketchy save that just barely works out. Phase 3. In the flare. This is the one most people think of when they hear go-around. You're 20 feet off the runway and something isn't right. Maybe a gust ballooned you back up. Maybe you floated past the 1,000-foot markers and the runway is only 3,000 feet long. Maybe another aircraft taxied onto the runway. Maybe a deer walked out. It happens. I've seen it happen at this point. The go-around is more urgent and more dynamic. You're slow, you're low, and you're configured for landing. The first thing, the absolute first thing, is full power. Get that engine producing thrust. Then manage the pitch. You're going to feel the airplane want to pitch up with all that power and the nose-high attitude you were already in. You have to manage that. Fly the airplane.
And here's a detail that catches people. When you go around from the flare, you're going to be close to the ground for a little while. The airplane needs time to accelerate and climb. That's normal. Don't panic. Don't yank back on the yoke. Let the airplane fly out of ground effect, build airspeed, and then climb. Flaps. Bring them up in stages. If you're in a Cessna 172 with full flaps at 30 degrees, go to 21st. Let the airplane accelerate, then to 10, then clean. If you rip all the flaps out at once while you're slow, you're going to sink and you do not have altitude to spare. Now, let's talk about the mental side of this, because honestly, this is where most go-around failures actually happen. Not in the hands and feet, but between the ears. There is a very well-documented phenomenon in aviation psychology called plan continuation bias. It means that once you've committed to a plan, in this case landing, your brain actively resists changing that plan. You start filtering out information that contradicts the plan and overweighting information that supports it. The approach looks a little steep. You tell yourself, it's fine, you'll fix it. The airspeed is 10 knots fast, you'll bleed it off in the flare. The crosswind is stronger than you expected, you've handled worse. Every one of those rationalizations is your brain trying to keep the plan alive, and every one of them moves you closer to a bad outcome. The antidote to plan continuation bias is to flip the script. Instead of asking yourself, is this bad enough to go around? Ask yourself, is everything good enough to land? The default should be the go-around. The landing is what you allow when all the criteria are met. I know that sounds extreme, but think about it this way. No pilot has ever been hurt by a go-around. Plenty of pilots have been hurt by trying to salvage an approach that wasn't working. Let me give you a real scenario. You're on a solo cross-country to a towered field you've never been to before. The Automated Terminal Information Service, or ATIS, says winds are 270 at 12 gusting 20. The active runway is runway 24, so you've got a crosswind component. You enter the pattern, and on downwind, you notice the windsock is really dancing around. On base, you get bumped around pretty good. You turn final, and you're crabbing noticeably into the wind. You're about 300 feet above the ground. What do you do? Well, if everything else is stabilized, your airspeed is good with your gust factor added, and you're tracking the centerline, you continue the approach. But you set a mental gate. If at 200 feet you are not in a position to land in the first third of the runway, you go around. If you can't maintain the centerline, you go around. If your airspeed gets away from you, you go around. And here's the important part. You make that decision now at 300 feet, not at 50 feet when you're out of options. This is what I mean about building the go-around into your cross-country planning. Before every approach at an unfamiliar field, brief yourself. What's the go-around procedure? What are my gates? What are the conditions that will trigger a go-around? Some pilots literally say it out loud. I've had students who would say on final, go-around altitude is 200 feet. Go-around airspeed is anything below 62 or above 78. Go-around track is if I can't hold centerline. Just verbalizing it makes it real. It takes it out of the abstract and makes it a concrete commitment. One more thing I want to touch on, and this is especially relevant for cross-country flying. The go-around after a go-around, you go around, great decision. You re-enter the pattern, but now you're a little flustered. Your heart rate is up, maybe you're embarrassed because Tower saw the whole thing, or because there's other traffic in the pattern. You set up for the second approach, and honestly, it's not much better than the first one. The wind hasn't changed, the conditions haven't changed, and now you're lower on fuel than you were before. This is where some pilots get locked in. They think, I already went around once. I have to land this time. No, no you do not. If the second approach isn't stabilized, go around again. And if the conditions at this airport just aren't working for you today, go to your alternate. That is exactly what alternates are for. There is no rule that says you must land at your intended destination. There is a rule, actually several rules, that say you must exercise good aeronautical decision-making. Going to your alternate is not a failure. It's the plan working exactly as designed. I want to leave you with something practical you can do on your very next flight. Whether you're a student or a certificated pilot, pick a calm day and go practice go-arounds. Not just the mechanics, but the decision-making. Set up approaches that are intentionally a little high or a little fast and practice recognizing that and going around. Get comfortable with the sight picture, get comfortable with the power application and the pitch change and the flap management. Then, on your next cross-country, brief the go-around before every approach, out loud, set your gates, know your numbers, and remember. The best pilots in the world go around, airline crews go around, Military pilots go around. It is a normal, expected professional maneuver. It is never a failure. It is always the right call when the approach isn't meeting your criteria. All right, that's our show for today. A lot of what we covered comes from FAA Advisory Circular 61-98, which covers currency and additional qualification, and the Airplane Flying Handbook, FAA H8083-3 Bravo, which has excellent material on go-arounds and rejected landings. The Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot are available free on the FAA's website. If you want to go deeper on decision-making and aeronautical decision-making models, look at the Risk Management Handbook, FAA H8083-2. Traffic Pattern is part of Radio Hangar, an AI-generated aviation broadcast created by people who love flying. Everything we talk about here is sourced from published FAA guidance, and we always encourage you to verify with your own CFI and your own aircraft's operating handbook. You can find more episodes and information at radiohangar.com. This is Pattern. Go out there and practice that go-around. Make it your best maneuver. I'll see you next time. Radio Hangar, keep the blue side up.